Welcome back to Prophecy Today. We have much to talk about in our Middle East news update. David Dolan standing by in Jerusalem, so let's get right underway with our conversation. David, the top story has to be a Turkish aircraft that has been shot down by the Syrians. What's the latest, and what's going to be the ramifications of this?
Well, we have the Iraqi foreign minister, of all people, commenting this afternoon, warning that this does show that this conflict in Syria could well spill over the borders and involve other countries. And, of course, Hillary Clinton has warned about that. The UN has warned about that. Kofi Annan, who's trying to get a ceasefire, has warned about it. And, of course, there's refugees pouring every day into Lebanon, into Turkey, into Jordan in particular. We had a Jordanian airbase serve as the host for a defecting Syrian pilot with his very expensive MiG jet the other day, landing in northern Jordan and being received, given asylum. And then, of course, this incident off the coast of Syria, the Syrians admitting that they shot down the plane, the Turks saying it had just barely strayed into any sort of Syrian airspace. It was out over the Mediterranean near the port of Latakia. Well, Jimmy, that's the port, one of the two ports that the Russians are involved with, operating out of. They're now sending more ships down there with Marines, supposedly to protect the Russians working at those places and evacuate them if this thing deteriorates even further. But all of this just indicating how dangerous the situation is and how easily it could indeed evolve into a regional war.
David, do we see any sign of the fact that Bashar Assad may step aside, get out of the way, and let his country continue on with some type of stability?
Not a chance, Jimmy. I just 2 minutes ago watched the Israel newscast here, and they showed Assad reshuffling his cabinet today, meeting with his top officials. They were all dressed very nicely in their uniforms and, you know, all patting his back and supporting him. This is, again, the Alawites, a minority sect in Syria that have been slaughtering the Sunni rebel forces, who, of course, have been slaughtering them back in increasingly fierce ways themselves. But it's going to be a fight to the end, I believe, and many who followed this for many years believe. And again, as I mentioned last week, we have the prospect of Hezbollah trying to smuggle out their Scud missiles. And after you and I talked about that last week, Jimmy, Channel 10 News here in Israel actually showed footage that evening of these missiles being moved from Damascus to bases outside of the city. Israel said if they try to take those into Lebanon, they're going to bomb them, and that could easily start a war between Israel and Hezbollah. Of course, this while we're having all the action from the Gaza Strip. So it is a extremely complex, very difficult situation, and Assad is not about to step down anytime soon.
David, I hear reports that Iran, Russia, China, and Syria are going to hold the largest war games that they've ever had in that region of the world. Do you have anything on that at all?
Well, just denials by both Syria and Russia that such exercises are being planned. This came from an Iranian report, the Fars news agency, a semi-official news agency, claiming that 90,000 troops from these four countries were going to be gathering in Syria to have, quote, war games. This would obviously be a message to everybody else, the U.S., Israel, Turkey, everybody else, don't you dare intervene. But the Russians denied it, and President Putin is coming here on Monday, here to Jerusalem, to meet with Benjamin Netanyahu and others. I don't think the Russians would participate in that, and they probably feel that the fact that they've got naval forces, that they are strong forces right on the coast there, is enough of a deterrent for any foreign force intervening without their approval. Of course, the Libyan action against Gaddafi had Russian approval. They made it clear, and China and Iran have made clear they won't go along with that this time. So, again, we're getting denials of that, and I think it's probably exaggerated at the very least.
You mentioned that Vladimir Putin visit. He's the president of Russia, first time since he has been reelected to president of Russia. He will be coming into the Middle East. Is this visit basically for Vladimir Putin to make sure everybody realizes he's a key player in the region? He's only going to be there for, what, about 24 hours?
Well, actually, he's dedicating a war memorial down in Netanya that Benjamin Netanyahu initiated, and this is in commemoration of the 20 million Red Army soldiers, Russian soldiers that died in the conflict with Adolf Hitler in World War II. Now, of course, that was a communist country, but nevertheless, they were fighting against Hitler, who was slaughtering the Jews. So Netanyahu suggested this memorial, and he's going to dedicate it. But the fact that he's coming personally for that, and then coming up to Jerusalem, meeting with Netanyahu, a state dinner with President Peres, etc., is a reminder to the Israelis and the Americans and everyone around, Russia's still a player. They have a lot of influence and power in this region. And again, they are backing Assad of Syria, and that's the key reason that we're not going to see any dramatic change there overnight.
Well, and I also read in the report that indeed he will meet in Jericho with some of the Palestinian Authority people and then cross the Jordan River into Jordan and meet with King Abdullah over there as well. Well, the main focus has been on the Syrian situation, but we need to have another focus. I understand the reports coming out as late as I've heard it just about a 5 minutes ago, that the officials in Egypt are going to announce the winner of the presidential election. Just get us up to date on what's happening there.
Yeah, that's supposed to come just after noon here tomorrow in the area. And the Al-Aram Egyptian newspaper, usually quite reliable, says that the military will announce that their candidate, as it were, Shafiq, has won the election and not the Muslim Brotherhood candidate. If that is indeed the case, and they're talking about a very close vote, we'll probably see more Muslim Brotherhood unrest. And, of course, this comes against the backdrop of their ally Hamas pummeling southern Israel with rockets this week, and that's continuing. So it's a very on-edge situation. And, again, I've said to you over the past couple months, Jimmy, I've never seen this region in my 32 years here as explosive as it is right now. Almost every direction you look, you see things going on that are very ominous, and the situation in Egypt is certainly amongst them, and especially after the military canceled the parliamentary election results last week. So the Brotherhood is probably not going to take this lying down. They've tasted victory, and they're not likely to just turn away from that. But as I've been saying all along, the military is not so willing to just hand over the reins of power to this extremist group. The reformers that were out in Tahrir Square, they wanted their military powers curbed, but they certainly, most of them, didn't want extremist Muslims to take over in their place, and that's what's happening. So it's a very sad, very dangerous situation all around.
You mentioned what's happening there in the square in Cairo, and in previous days, it's been a mixed bag of people who were out there demonstrating, but in recent days, it seems to be the Muslim Brotherhood by the hundreds and thousands. Will they, if indeed they do name this former Prime Minister Shafiq as the president, the winner of the presidential election, will the Muslim Brotherhood start another revolution? And could we see all-out civil war in Egypt?
It's very possible, although analysts have pointed out that unlike in Libya, unlike in Algeria, the average Egyptian is not armed, and the Muslim Brothers have been suppressed for quite a few decades, so they're not a military force per se. Now, Hamas, their ally in Gaza, is very much a military force, but they themselves are not, so they wouldn't have the firepower to take on the regime. But then again, the Sunni rebels in Syria didn't initially, and now a year later they are getting an inflow of arms from Saudi Arabia, from Turkey. Some say the CIA is participating in that, Jordan, Qatar, and other countries. So it could develop over time into that. I wouldn't think immediately, but there could be very big protests and certainly bloodshed and just general upheaval, more economic chaos as well.
David, there was a nuclear summit meeting in Moscow. It started out Istanbul, Baghdad, and then to Moscow earlier this week. Looks like no result has come out of that either. And what does that mean for the preparation for a preemptive strike by the Israelis?
Well, the Israelis suspect, Jimmy, that the Hamas attacks this week from the Gaza Strip may have been ordered by Iran. that they now feel confident that they can carry on with their nuclear program. The West is not united enough. The Russians and Chinese, again, stepping in the way of any real action being taken against them. These talks going nowhere this week in Moscow. And so the fear is that they've ordered Hamas to step up these rocket attacks. We've had 25 today. We've had our first civilian casualty, a man severely injured off of the Gaza Strip this afternoon. We have Hamas this afternoon saying that they are going to continue these assaults. And the fear is that Iran is behind this. They may be trying to provoke Israel into action against the Gaza Strip. Then Hezbollah may get involved, the object being to prevent them from coming against Iran. But it's just as likely, analysts are saying, that it could just explode into everybody being involved, including Iran, and that Israel might just say, okay, we're already at war with these other parties. Let's just take advantage of that and go after the nuclear program. But, of course, this would have to be with at least the U.S. looking the other way, and that isn't clear at all.
And you said just a moment ago, this is the worst you've seen it in your 32 years experience there.
Definitely. Trouble all around, a very, very grave situation, really. We have a country falling apart to our north. We have a country, the largest Arab world's country, to the south falling apart. How this can affect Israel is just beyond belief, really. It's already doing so.
David Dolan, our man in Jerusalem, giving us a Middle East news update. David, thank you. We'll stay in touch. We need to know what's happening.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.